we're going to talk about different church growth phases and more specifically how to lead and love your family, your church, through these different phases. Now we have different church growth phases, and I like to summarize them in the following way. First of all, we have what we call fellowship groups, and then we have church plants that grows to become established churches, that grows to become base churches, and from which the base church again starts this cycle of planting churches or satellite churches. And we're going to look at these different church growth phases, the unique promises and opportunities that they bring, but also the challenges and potential pitfalls, and how do they differ from each other. And that's really what this module is all about. It's about church growth and the exciting experience of seeing your church grow from one phase to the next, but then also being aware of the challenges that those growth phases may present. And that's really what this module is all about. So I want to start off really with something that I ended off last time, and that is that we must understand that true and lasting church growth is really God's work. And I think whenever we talk about church growth, it's very important, and I cannot overemphasize this point, that even though we're talking about church growth and looking how to manage and to lead and to navigate these different phases, we must always understand that it is ultimately, like Jesus said, I will build my church. Here in Ephesians, again, we read this powerful concept where Christ speaks to us, and he says that through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God's Spirit. And isn't that so beautiful? The fact that God is building his church through us. And I think we should never forget that when we talk about church growth. Remember what I shared last time about Mark chapter 4 and the parable of the growing seed. The farmer sows, but he doesn't know how it grows. Yet when this grain comes to full maturity, he has the privilege to put in the sickle and harvest. And that's what we want to talk about, these different phases of church growth. Sometimes we commit so much time and energy and resources in trying to make things grow. We put so much time in making it grow that we forget that we have to sow the seed. And we're so concerned about the growth and we forget to sow the seed of God's word and understand that it's actually the seed that God makes to grow, that brings, that adds. So let's not get the focus wrong when we speak about this. It's Christ's message that brings life, more than it is our systems and our structures and our own effort. We need to trust that Jesus in us is the cause of growth. As I was sharing, growth brings new opportunities, but also new challenges. Every single phase, whether you are a fellowship group growing to become a plant or growing from a plant to an established church, no matter which phase you're going through, it brings different opportunities and different challenges. You know, growing from one phase to the next creates the opportunity, maybe from a fellowship group to a church plant, it creates the opportunity to expand the influence and reach more people in the community. It gives the opportunity to do certain ministries even better. But with that also comes the challenge that you might need more resources, you need more people, you need property, you need a venue. And also with church grow, especially if you grow rapidly, comes the challenge that at some point your leadership capacity will hold the church back, because you have to disciple the people coming in. So with church growth, especially if you grow rapidly, you'll have to change your focus and realize that we need to invest in our leaders so that we can disciple the people and assimilate them into the body as they are added to us. Because if you are unable to do that, your growth will plateau. So with growth comes different challenges and different focuses. And we want to look through these different phases and what are the challenges within it. I think one of the things that one has to remember, regardless of the phase and the growth that we're in, I think it's important to always look at our DNA and to study and to reflect on that. What is it that makes who we are? What are the things that are central to us as a church? And then also, why are we growing? What are the factors of that DNA that is causing us to grow in this community? And then to actually focus on those things, whether it's small group, discipleship, or reaching out to the community, look at the things that has actually caused the growth, and then keep that central to the new phase as you move from one to the next, so that you can ensure that that growth continues. And I think that's very important. It is important to know who we are and know what are the things that work. It's also very important to understand the context and the constituency in which we grow. And that sounds a bit confusing, but really what it means is it boils down to, who is God adding to us? You know, sometimes we have a preconceived idea of who we are meant to reach. And I can remember in London, you know, my heart was really to reach the British people. My heart was really to reach the non-South African community in London. But the reality is God kept on adding more South Africans. And at some point, I had to embrace the fact that even though I want to reach the British people in that one church, God kept on adding more South Africans. And I had to realize that, listen, yeah, this is the constituency that is actually are drawn to this church, and I must make a peace with that. The way I solved the problem was to ultimately plant another church within a different community where there were no South Africans. And only then did we start seeing the British people come into the church. But I think it was a valuable lesson for me. I had to embrace the people that God was sending. So I think it's very important. Also, growth will not automatically continue at the same rate when you change from one phase to the next. And you will find that, you know, the initial phase, actually, when you're still a fellowship group, and we're going to talk about that, the growth is maybe not so continuous. You might have an initial group of 5 people that grows to 10 to 15, but that might reach a plateau. It might kind of stagnate. And then you start a church, and then all of a sudden, you have this tremendous growth rate from a fellowship group to a church plant. But you cannot expect that same growth rate is going to continue when you're an established church or when you're a base church. The different phases brings different growth curves as well. So it's something to keep in mind. But you also have to look at what is the reason that caused us to grow. And I think that's important, because sometimes you have a sudden growth spurt because you have introduced a new kiddies church curriculum. And then people all of a sudden come because of the great kiddies church, or maybe because of the great worship band. But then you've got to also take into account, how does my other ministries relate to these two ministries that are drawing people in? And that is also important, because the moment you change something that results in rapid growth, you have to take in consideration whether the other ministries are actually strong enough to support that growth. And that gives you an opportunity again to maybe revisit the other ministries and reinvest into it, bring it to a higher standard so that the initial growth can be sustained and maintained through that phase that you're in. I think every stage growth requires 3 of these assets. And I think these assets is so very important for us to remember. The first thing, no matter which phase you're in, is so important that you must have a visionary leader. You must be able to communicate why we are here and why we are doing what we're doing very effectively. From the fellowship group, right through to the base church. I think that is one very important asset, is the fact that you have a leader that can communicate vision effectively. The other thing that is so important, you need to have an effective organization. You've got to have an effective structure through which you can communicate, but through which you can actually exercise pastoral input into people's lives. And I think that's also so important. And that's why we believe in small groups. That's why we believe in the cell structure, because it gives us an effective tool to actually organize, to communicate, and to pastor every member. And I think that's also very important. Throughout every phase, it's important to make sure that this structure remains healthy and sound. And then lastly, you know what? You need adequate resources. As you grow from one phase to the next phase, you're going to need more people, and, you know, quite frankly, you're going to need more money. And that's also very important. These three aspects are so important in every phase. What do I need in this phase? And every time you move to the next phase, you must understand that you will need more of this. You're going to need more vision. You're going to need more pastoral input. You're going to need more structure, and you're going to need more resources. So keep that in mind as we talk through these various growth phases. Great. The first phase is the what we call the fellowship group. And Pastor Sias have already shared a lot about that, so I don't want to spend too much time here. But that's really the initiation of a process that leads in this life cycle of a church that grows from this small little group of people as a fellowship group, which is normally just like a cell. It's pretty much a cell with a cell facilitator. It's somebody that facilitates a relationship with like-minded people that really have a desire to continue with the vision and the passion of Shofar Christian Church. So these are people that finds themselves in a community where there is no Shofar Church. And they have this desire to start it. They may be coming from a Shofar Church normally. They've experienced the vision in the heart and they're so excited about it, but they couldn't really find a home within their community where they could live out this passion. It's normally led by a facilitator. And it's so important in this phase to understand that the primary focus of this is not so much teaching as it is relationship. And it's really facilitating, praying and asking God to bless and to establish a church plant. And that's where this phase starts. It starts with relationship. It starts with intercession. It starts with this like-minded vision and an expectation, really, that God is going to plant and establish a church. In this phase, one could also start to maybe, you know, pool resources so that when the pastor is finally sent, you know, that little group has got some finance to help with, you know, getting the venue or buying some equipment just for the start of. That also helps at this phase. It's important to actually also understand that during this phase, you are going to draw people that are looking for something that they cannot find in a local church. And they have an expectation that a Shofar church is going to be established. However, in reality, that may take some time. Sometimes it takes months, and in some cases it took years before the church was finally planted. Initially, you're going to grow, but you've got to understand that group are going to meet in somebody's house. They're going to have an expectation for something to happen, yet they are not really rooted into a local body. And the longer this phase takes before something is established, the greater the likelihood that this growth curve is going to plateau. You're going to end up with about 30 people that fits into your home, 30 people that are patient enough to wait for maybe a year and a half before finally something is started. Don't get impatient or disappointed if somebody tells you, you know what, I really have a need to be rooted somewhere. And even though I really want to be part of Shofar, it's just taking too much time. So you got to understand in this phase, one of the challenges is the longer this phase takes, the greater the likelihood that your group is actually going to shrink, even though initially it might have grown. So take that in mind. There's lots of things that you can do to help to overcome that. We have now live streaming, so you can come together and we can together watch the service. You can decide whether you meet on a Sunday and try and really recreate that church and fellowship and teaching environment. You can do Bible school is another very effective way during this phase to come together on a weekly basis and go through Bible school. Even maybe do the encounter series. But the thing that you need to do is you need to understand that as your group grows, so does the likelihood of somebody being sent. That said, remember also there's limitations in what you can expect the size of this group to be. So don't get discouraged if you don't grow beyond 30. Don't get discouraged by it, but really continue to pray that God would send somebody. Now, if the facilitator is actually the person that is going to ultimately pastor the new church plant, you don't have this problem. Because then the limitation is not when somebody is sent, then the limitation is when is God saying we should plant. So I want to encourage you in this phase, don't give up, keep on praying and support one another until somebody has come to establish the church. Great. The next phase from a fellowship group is actually the church plant, which is actually such an amazing experience. And so few people have the privilege to be part of that, to see how a little small group of 15 people in somebody's home actually grows to become a fully fledged church. It is such an exciting phase. And I've shared a lot about that, but so I don't want to repeat myself. But really, this is the phase where this fellowship group that we're meeting together in our home, actually added to them is somebody that is going to pastorally lead the church. It is this phase when this little home group actually gets a venue and starts fully fledged Sunday services that includes worship, ministry, and the word. And that is when the fellowship group moves to be a church plant, when there is an official pastor and there's an official venue that we meet in every Sunday, and we've got all aspects of Sunday ministry happening there. It is a very exciting phase where you see a little group of 15 people suddenly explode. And that's what normally happens. The fellowship group normally stays a particular size for quite a while until you open your first Sunday in a venue. You got to find a venue, and we spoke about that. But that very first Sunday, when you start your first official service, you will notice from that day on, all of a sudden, people start to visit your church. They start to join your church because by starting something officially, consistently, permanently, it communicates stability, it communicates permanency to the community, and then people tend to buy into that. Some people wait a while because so many people have started things and could not finish it. But you will note in this phase, there is normally a rapid growth the moment you start. And it is so important that when you start with permanency in mind. You start with the banners, you start with the auxiliary ministries, with kids' church and encounters and Bible school, and you everything about you should communicate that you are serious and that you're here permanently for this community. And that draws a lot of people. So you start these auxiliary ministries, it's very important. You do the Bible school and the encounter. Training is very important. Evangelism is very important. It is such an awesome time of church because as you start with 15 people, everybody notices the first-time visitor, and everybody is excited about the first-time visitor, and everybody invites them, and there's this outward focus that naturally manifests, and it is so important to continue to cultivate that. As you grow, you become 50 and 60 and 70 and 80, that people do not lose that sensitivity and excitement when somebody joins. So what is so important in this phase is to not just establish a culture that will continue, but to actually maintain that culture, to make sure that that outward focus and that loving, caring family atmosphere is maintained throughout church growth. Don't take for granted that what you had in the beginning is going to continue to the end. You've got to work at it to keep it going. So that's very important. Some of the challenges that you will face is that you all of a sudden will have to start solving problems. I mean, when you were meeting in somebody's home and there was only 30 people, there wasn't a lot of logistics. There wasn't a lot of setup and breakdown and sound to be bought and to be transported. You all of a sudden have logistical challenges and you've got logistical problems to solve. And as your church grows, you're going to have more people and they're going to have more problems and different problems. And all of a sudden, you're going to be solving a lot of problems. By God's grace, He will give you the wisdom, but you're going to encounter more. And you're going to encounter setbacks. Look, change is always messy. People don't like changing. You will even find some of the people that was initially there might leave because they feel they do not have the close relationship with you that they used to, because all of a sudden there's 80 people in church and you don't speak to them every single Sunday after church. They used to that. Now you are sharing your time with other people. So, you know, you get the different challenges that you need to work through. And that's why, like I said earlier, get your cell structure going. Most people that will come to you and say, but listen, we miss the intimacy that we had before, are individuals that are not in a small group. Get them into a small group so that that need for intimacy is still there. But work through these challenges. Learn to learn from your setbacks. I mean, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to have setbacks, but it's so important to learn from it because that will help you in the future. In this phase, vision is important. Continue to cast vision. Continue to pray. I mean, we can't overemphasize prayer. And you're going to need a lot more volunteers in this phase than you used to. You're going to need a lot more leaders than before. So ongoing training is essential. You've got to train your leaders. You've got to train your volunteers. You're going to train and train and train so that you can build capacity. Capacity is so important for church growth. If you grow too quickly and you outgrow your capacity, your church will stagnate. So keep on training people. Keep on encouraging people. Set measurable goals. So important. Set realistic but measurable goals so that it can be achieved. So it must be realistic so that it's achievable, but it must also be measurable so that at the end of the day you can celebrate it. That's so important when your church is growing, to celebrate together what God has done, to notice everybody's role, to acknowledge that, and then to celebrate the successes that we together as a family has achieved. Very important in this phase.